Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start probably either a two or maybe three-part message tonight. But Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read. We'll actually start in verse 1, but then we're going to spend a little time in verse 5, 6, and 7. It says, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudes and beseech Syntyche, and that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fella, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, that the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We start looking at this. I was reading this passage the other day, and we have to think about, when we start thinking about there in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, there's three basic types of peace mentioned in the Bible. And we see there's so many ways that people are seeking for peace in the world. They're looking at in all the wrong places. People try to figure out, the world tries to come to a peace, but they can't, because they can't give peace like God gives peace. The Bible tells us where we can find true peace, and that it truly only comes from God. So let us look. We're going to be looking at God's Word tonight, and we're going to look at the three different types of peace. We're just going to mention them, and we're going to go to some scriptures and look at them. And then we're going to be focusing on, in verse 7 there, the peace of God. The first peace that comes to mind in the scriptures is the peace with God. And that happens at salvation, that when we trust Christ, that happens according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. 5 and verse 1 in Romans. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing we see is peace with God. And that's at the time of our salvation. That's at the time that we're justified. And we looked at the word justification or justified once several times before. It was just simply being made right with God. But justification through our Lord Jesus Christ sometimes can be confused with the peace of God. Some people try to confuse it. But see, we're going to look at the peace of God, as it mentioned there in Philippians 4 and verse 7. It says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we're going to focus a little more on that here in a minute. But in John chapter 14, turn back to John 14. We see, what does he tell us there in John 14 and verse 1? He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And he's just telling them. And then he goes on in verse 2 and 3. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And the troubling part was, as he was telling them about his time he was going to be taking off and going back. His ascension. He was talking about his ascension back into heaven. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I am coming back again. And he tells us that in Matthew. He tells us he'll always be with us. But in verse 27 of chapter 1 of John, or 14 and verse 27 of John, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So he goes on to say, peace I leave with you. So he's leaving, and he says, my peace I give unto you. And then he's talking about the peace of God. But then the last peace that we know of in what the scripture says is the peace on earth. And that's not going to happen until Christ comes back to reign. And we can see in Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 2. We're just trying to get a basic understanding of the three types of peace that the scripture mentioned here. But chapter 2 and verses 1, it says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amaz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up peace, or lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. So there will be actually true peace. We see that there's not peace in the world today because there's wars going on right now. We see that people are seeking peace, but they're seeking a false peace. But looking here in chapter 4 of Philippians, we see that it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. We look at that word moderation. It simply means mild or gentleness or gentle, patient. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. As God's children, of all people, we should be gentle. We should be mild. We should be patient with people. Because he says here, the Lord is at hand. But then he goes on, he says, be careful for nothing. So the word careful here in the Strong's means to be anxious about, to have or care, careful, take thought. And we look at a couple scriptures that refer to that, and we can turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, and that's where he's dealing with, not worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take the care of itself. But Matthew 6 and verse 25, you got to take a minute to turn there. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall ye eat or what shall ye drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? So he's saying, be careful for nothing. Don't take thought. Don't worry. He says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto thee, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So that's one of the scriptures we look at. And then he says in verse 31, he says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And then he goes on and says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we'd simply put God first in every aspect of our life, he's going to provide for us. But what he's saying here is, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried about anything. But then he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. but in everything by prayer and supplication. Make with thanksgiving. See, we're to be thankful. And we're going to be looking at this a little more deep here. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight or not, but then we see there in verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. And I guarantee you, the peace of God, we're never going to fully comprehend it. But he gives us a peace that nobody can understand. Nobody can give us but him. And it says, it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that word keep means to be a watcher in advance. That is, to guard as a sentinel or protect. Keep with a garrison. And that's what he's saying here. Is the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we focus on him, when we allow our moderation to be known unto all men, it says, be careful for nothing. We're sitting there and we're not being anxious about everything, but we're taking things to prayer and supplication, and we're giving God thanks in the things we do. He says, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we see here the peace of God in times of troubles. It's going to be there when we seek God first. It's the peace of God that overwhelms our worries, that helps us to rest in the will of God even when we cannot see the future. It helps us allows us to be content with God and who he is. And it keeps us, the peace of God keeps us content. It keeps us focused on him when we don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen Friday. We don't know what's going to happen when we leave this place. The other night, we left Sunday night. I think I told Neil this the other night. When we were going home down First Avenue North, I never heard any sirens, and the next thing I know, I'm crossing 27th Street, and there's the police officer right there. Fortunately, the Lord protected us. I truly believe that. We were able to get across and out of his way so we didn't get hit, but we were that real super close. And I just think about that and how sometimes there is some close calls, but God protected us through that. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know from moment to moment. So we thank God for his protection. But the key to having this kind of peace lies in possessing a thankful heart. That's what we have to do. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. It also refers to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, where it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Even when you're having a bad day, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. And there's in the Bible, thankfulness is mentioned over 140 times. So what's that mean? That means that we need to be thankful. We can go to Psalm 103. And we can see David spoke about it. He spoke about thankfulness. He Psalm 103, which is the chapter where it talks about that God has cast our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. There's something to be thankful about. But David, this is a psalm of David in verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If we could sit down and just thank God for what he's done for us, we could sit there for a while and think about it. And if we just ponder on that, think about what that does for you. Who giveth all, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Is that not true? That's something to thank God for. We serve a merciful Lord, and he's gracious. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so is great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And that's in verse 12, is where the verse that we refer to quite a few times. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. See, he's cast them out as far. It talks about in another passage of Scripture, he's cast our sins into the depths of the sea to remember them no more. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth him that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as the grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, and ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We have so much to thank him for. David lists the blessings. They're inexhaustible. We can go through scripture after scripture. See, we got to remember God is worthy of our thanksgiving. He is. But then we go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and he went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. He gave thanks before his God, and he did it three times a day. See, Daniel practiced it. He demonstrates the power of giving thanks even when you're in the midst of trials. Even when we're going through things that we don't like, even when we're going through difficulties, we're to give thanks. Paul wrote about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. We read that earlier. See, God deserves, commands, and expects our thankfulness in all areas of life and at all times. That's why he says there in 1 Thessalonians, in all things, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It says that it's the will of God. So we look at that in chapter 4 there of Philippians. He says, be careful for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We're not to worry about anything. We're to take it to God in prayer. We're to pray and ask God to help and to thank him, to give him thanks. And then it says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's just like the verse in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, where it talks about he'll keep our minds. Let's go there so I don't misquote it here. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And I believe this is talking about the peace of God, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. See, one of the keys to the peace of God is the fact that it deals with a total surrender to God in all things. In order for us to come to the point to where we can experience being content, having that peace that passes all understanding and helps us when things come and trouble us, that we're not just a basket case and we don't know where to turn, but it helps us in the fact. But we have to come to a point to where we surrender to Him, and we have to yield to His will over ours. We have to do what He wants to do in obedience. So between the fact of a total surrender and having a thankful heart, I believe these are two key points that for us to have that peace of God that passeth all understanding. Because He says, be careful for nothing. You know, don't fret about things. What does it talk about? I believe it's in Psalm 27 or Psalm 37. I can't remember. Fret not. Evildoers, you know, fret not about those things. He said, you know, he was envious of the wicked, but then until he came to the house of God and realized their end, and then he realized that, then he started feeling sorry for him and realizing that, hey, this is all they have. And that's what we got to realize. See, the only peace that we can experience is what God gives. The world can't offer peace to us. No matter what we have, it doesn't bring peace. We can surround ourselves with whatever we want to surround ourselves with, but it does not bring peace like God brings peace. And we can search all the wrong places, but until we come to God, until we realize that, hey, we need to be thankful. We need to come to Him with a thankful heart. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. No matter what situation we go through, if we come to that point, see, the peace of God will help us through times of trouble. It's going to help us. And then when we get to those points where we're overwhelmed with worry or we have a hard time not understanding where we're going in the future. See, God's going to, He promises He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He promises that He'll always be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a constant source of, and the Bible tells us that God is faithful. He's always going to be there for us. So we can rest. Again, that's not something we can just snap our fingers when we have the peace of God. It's something that God brings upon He brings upon us when we've come to that point where we rest in Him and when we have a thankful heart. That's what we got to realize. So we see here, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I just wanted to give you a little introduction tonight and the fact that there's three types of peace, and we looked at those. The peace of God, or peace with God, first of all, which is a justification when we are saved. And then the peace of God, it comes through total surrender to God in all things. But then one day we will see peace on earth when Christ is reigning. We'll understand that. But only a person who is saved can truly understand the peace of God. Somebody who is not saved will never understand it until they get there, get saved. We understand. We've seen that David spoke about it in Psalm 103. We see that Daniel practiced it in Daniel chapter 6. But then we see that Paul wrote about it. And he tells us that it's God's will for our life to give thanks. And when we come to God with a thankful heart, we come to Him with a trusting Him and yielding our lives to Him, surrendering to Him, then we'll be able to experience the peace of God. Let's pray.